This is the Rental Income Podcast, where we talk to owners of rental properties and give you actionable tips and advice that will help you make more money while dealing with less hassle. And now your host, Dan Lane.
Joining me on the podcast today is Steve Eliff, and Steve has actually been on the show before, and he wanted to come back on today to talk about how you can build a rental portfolio that acts like an ATM and pays you cash every single month. Steve has done this. He's figured it out. He owns 11 properties. He owns them all free and clear. And today he wants to share how he did it, and he wants to tell you exactly how you can do it too. Steve, how long have you been doing this for?
So I've been in the real estate business 25 years now, which I can't believe. It seems like it's only been a few, but time goes quickly. Started out here in Salt Lake City, and we're still here. Own 11 properties now, all of which are paid off and cash flowing like crazy, but have bought and sold and remodeled probably 50 or 60 buildings over the course of that time frame.
Today, you're going to tell us how someone can build their own personal ATM. If someone is brand new, they're just getting started, what's the very first step that they should take?
I think if you look at it as somebody who's just starting out, like we all did in real estate, you have aspirations of buying rental property and being an investor and so forth, which is all great. But what you find in almost all cases of why people fail, not just in real estate, in a lot of things, is they don't have just their base plan. They don't have the building blocks. And if you don't have the building blocks and your mathematical plan, in which I'm going to go over today, if you don't have that there, you really don't know what the end game is and the end goal is. People have in their minds a lot of time, I want to build wealth. I want to build cash flow. Well, great. How much wealth? How much cash flow? And so what I want to do is to show you a mathematical example. And I didn't invent this, by the way. I can't remember where I read it, but and it's not the only way to skin a cat, but it's a really, really cool, realistic example of how you can build a couple million dollar portfolio pretty easily in your young life.
This sounds awesome. All right, I am ready. Let's get right into it. So how do we start? What's our first step?
Okay, so we bought our first property. We weren't married yet. We were engaged, but we weren't married yet. We were both working. And as you probably know, you don't have to be husband and wife to buy a property. You can still be what's called joint tenants or tenants in common, where two unrelated people can buy a property. But we'll assume for this case that it's a young married couple starting out. One of the things I want to remind you on this is to know when you're building your plan, having a personal time frame. Let's say, for example, age 35. Most people are ready by age 35, hopefully younger, to start building their portfolio. And what I'm going to talk about today in my 15-year example is how you can get to the end game in 15 years. Now, remember, age 35, maybe age 30, but age 35 to 50 are really your income-earning years in your life. They're your most powerful years where you're making money. So the first thing I would recommend to a couple is don't quit your job. Neither one of you needs to quit your job in order to do this. And by the way, when it comes to borrowing money, banks love people who work regular jobs. I call them Johnny Paycheck and Mrs. Paycheck. Banks love that. And the reason they love that is it's not a lot of work for them to calculate your ability to qualify for a loan. If you're a real estate agent or someone who works for themselves or did what I did in the early years, which was buying houses and flipping them and trying to show a steady income over the years, really hard to qualify. And so the more solid you are in your working life, the easier it is to qualify for what they call conforming loans, an FHA loan, if you will. And again, that's a property that's anywhere from a single family home all the way up to a fourplex. So we're talking about non-commercial residential properties, bread and butter stuff, single family home up to a fourplex. The 30-year loan, I think, is what sinks almost everybody and causes them to not achieve success in real estate. And when you understand this, it all of a sudden is sort of the aha moment, at least it was for me. So what I did I want you to make note too, Dan, there's a great website out there and you probably see it. It's called bankrate.com. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been on there.
So if you go to bankrate.com, they have a little section called calculators. And you go in the calculators and it's really fun. You can put in all these what if scenarios. You type in your mortgage amount, the number of years, 15 versus 30, for example, what's the interest going to be, and so forth. Most people stop after they hit the calculate button because they just want to know what their monthly payment is. But what I would advise to your listeners is go that extra step and click underneath there and go to show amortization schedule. And an amortization schedule, for people that don't know, it takes your payment, which is a gross amount every month, say it's $1,000 a month, and it breaks it down into how much of that payment every month is your principal reduction, the actual amount you're paying off the loan, and how much of that is the interest that you're paying on that loan. And the best way to understand this is to run a 30-year scenario and a 15-year scenario. And I did that this morning just for fun, and I did it on $100,000. And the reason I did it under $100,000 is I'm going to talk for a minute on the cost per $100,000, if you will. So, for example, a $100,000 loan on a 30-year loan, today's rates, I put in 4.25%. Your total payment is $491 per month. Let's start there for a second. Let's say you're a couple evaluating a property, and the property is for sale for X, and you know all the variables, okay? You know what the rental income is every month. You know what the potential rental income is, maybe if you spruce it up a little bit. And you have a pretty good idea of what your overhead and your expenses are. And by the way, your overhead and expenses, they're always way more than you think they are. So remember, just a side note, always be realistic with yourself.
Hey, is there a percentage that you would go by? Like, just
believe it or not, yes. And this is after 20 some odd years of doing this. And it almost always works out to be the case, around 30 to 35% of your gross rents.
Okay. Okay.
Are going to be overhead.
So that includes less, taxes, insurance, repairs, everything. Okay.
Yes. Now, the one thing that does not include, and that's why I said a second ago, remember, it's always more than you think it's going to be. I had to put two roofs on properties last month.
Ouch.
One of which was the second time I put a roof on. I actually outlived the first roof. We've had the property that long.
Wow.
One of them was $6,000 and one of them was $7,000.
Wow.
I wrote a check for him. It was no big deal because I took the extra cash flow that we had from properties over those years, and this isn't part of today's discussion, but I always create an escrow account on the side, and it's that account exists solely for big ticket items that I wasn't expecting.
Okay.
And that's a great way to not get your battleship sunk early in the game, is to not take the extra cash flow that you think you're making and spend it. Take that extra cash flow and put it aside. You're going to need it.
You know, let me ask you one more question on that. I want to keep us focused here on building the ATM, but
sure.
with putting money aside, so do you have one account where you take 30 or 35% and you kind of save that or put that aside for that one property, or do you have an account for all your properties?
Great question. And I've seen it done both ways. For us, it wasn't worth all the hassle of trying to have all these different accounts all over the place. So our clientele all pay into one checking account, and they either pay online or we make them go to the bank. We don't run around and collect rent checks, which is another story, but it all goes into one account. And then each month when we pay ourselves X, and then we take X dollars and put it in an escrow account. And in our case, that escrow account is taxes and insurance. We live in an earthquake fault zone, so we have to buy earthquake insurance also, which is fairly inexpensive actually. But there's a big chunk of your overhead every year that goes towards property taxes and insurance. You can't afford to miss those payments when it comes time to make the lump sum payment on that every fall.
Right.
And so all of the rents go into our overall company checking account. We spin off X dollars to pay ourselves that goes to our personal account. We spin off X dollars into the escrow account. And I also spin off a couple thousand bucks each month into a savings account that's just my personal savings account. And so you always have to put money aside for savings because you just don't want to be in a position where the wind is completely out of your sails because you didn't prepare for the large item things that you had to do over the course of the years. So getting back to our model, the cost per 100,000, I ran this scenario, and what we're talking about here is how do you get to two things at the end of 15 years, a great net worth and a great cash flow. And I use 15 years versus 30 years because those are two of the easy examples of how you can get mortgages. And those of us who have bought our first or second home understand the difference between a 30-year and a 15. A 15, you're going to pay more dollars per month to make that payment, but the majority, or at least a much greater amount of your payment each month, goes towards principal rather than interest, the cost of renting that money, if you will. So you work it out on a cost per $100,000. And the reason that I do 15 years is going back to the people who are age 35, for example, to pick a random number. If you start at age 35 and you buy a property, or in the case I'm giving you today, four properties, by the time you're 50, the properties are paid for, lock, stock, and barrel, and they're spitting out lots of cash flow every month. You have a great net worth at that point, which really doesn't matter as much as the cash flow. The end game for most real estate investors, which they don't understand specifically in the beginning, is what you're really trying to do is to not only build a net worth, but more importantly, you're trying to build a future cash flow to replace your income when you're 50 years old and you're unemployable. And that's a real important thing to remember because your high income earning years are in your 30s, 40s, and maybe up to 50. But by the time you're 50 and you're top of the food chain, if you lose your job, they can easily replace you for somebody, you know, half the salary and half your age. And so my goal early on was to understand at age 50, you better have this dialed in and you better assume that you're going to transition at that point from being the paycheck guy to the ATM guy. And so this is how you can go about it.
So we're going to buy four properties and we're going to get them on 15-year mortgages. So that's the first step, right?
Correct.
Okay.
And again, with a 30-year mortgage, you'll be so frustrated, you'll never get the thing paid off. Here's a good example. In the $100,000 scenario, your payment each month, to go back to that, was $491 a month if you borrow $100,000. And that's on the 30-year. So $203 of that is interest each month. I'm sorry, $203 is principal. And $287 is interest. So you're paying more interest each month than you are in principal. In the 15-year scenario, the same amount of money. Let's see my notes here. Your payment is going to increase. So instead of your payment being $491, so just shy of $500, it's $702. So you have to up your game by $200 a month. Isn't very tough to knock 15 years off your mortgage, which is ridiculous when you think about it, right?
Yeah, for $200, it seems definitely
worth
it.
You have to force yourself to do it. And we always thought of this as forced savings. So you have to be somebody of the mentality, a big asterisk here going in, you have to be somebody who's able to live below your means as a general rule in life to begin with, because you have to have this discipline to do a 15-year loan. And the reason I mention that is that a lot of people and financial advisors and various folks will tell you, well, do the 30-year mortgage because it's a lesser payment, and then you can either invest the rest or you can just choose to pay more principal each month and create your own 15-year mortgage by virtue of just paying extra principal each month. And I think if you stop and pause and really think about that, the odds of somebody ever being disciplined enough to pay that extra amount, it never happens.
Right, right.
They always have some other, you know, car or boat or some toy that they want to spend the money on. And, you know, to their own demise, they never reach the end game. So I can't stress enough how important it is. Force yourself, if you can, into a 15-year mortgage. It's so worth it because it's forced savings.
And I think it's the kind of thing that it's really, really hard to do that at first. But once you get used to it and you get 6-7 payments in, you're not going to know any difference. So it's like you got to just make that sacrifice on day one.
Well, you know what I would do, Dan, is when you're evaluating a property and you're doing your spreadsheet and working out the gross rents and the expenses, in every single model, put in a 15-year mortgage and don't bother with the 30-year mortgage. And if that thing cash flows on a 15-year mortgage, you just hit it out of the park to buy that property. Again, on the $100,000 loan, your payment's gone up $200. So now you're at $700 a month in payment. But the principal portion of that, instead of being $200 a month, is now $583 a month.
Wow.
And your interest payment is $119 a month. And by the way, where I'm pulling these numbers from is year 10.
Okay.
Okay, because in an amortization schedule, your principal payments are a little bit less in year one, and they grow slightly over time. And then your interest portion shrinks slightly over time. And that's why if you print out an amortization table, you'll see how the numbers change a little bit. So I ran it out to March 2024 in the cases that I'm giving you. But here's the final and most interesting component about these $200,000 loans. In the first case where the person borrows $100,000 and they do the 30-year loan, in year 10, guess how much they still owe on that loan? $81,000 plus.
Wow.
They've only knocked out 20 grand. In the other case, and by the way, they have 15 years to go. Congratulations. They'll never get there. In the second case, your $100,000 loan after 10 years, you now owe $43,000.
Wow. That's a huge difference.
And guess what? You only have 5 years to go now, and you own that property free and clear. So that $700 a month that you're paying each month goes away and goes directly to you. And so, for example, let's say that property is now cash flowing $300 a month. Well, doesn't sound like a lot, but you get to that very last month of the loan after 15 years, and it goes from $300 a month to $1,000 a month. And the reason I call it an ATM is it's $1,000 per month forever for the rest of your life, for your kid's life,
yeah,
forever. So the key is to getting the thing paid off. You want to have a lot of debt because you can't build wealth without debt, but you've got to have the right debt. And part of being the right debt, in my view, is having debt that pays off while you're still reasonably young. It doesn't do you any good to start at age 50 and be doing 30-year loans. You're dead by the time they're paid right off. You know, you don't win the game that way. So time either works unbelievably to your advantage if you start young and stick with it, and it works exponentially against you as you get older and don't act.
Right.
And that's so important to know.
No, so the game, so you want to get these loans paid off as quick as you can. So if you're generating $300 a month cash flow, would you say take that $300 a month and just pay it towards principal and get that loan paid off even faster?
No, take that $300 and stick it aside, because you will wake up someday and your roof will be shot and your furnace will have exploded and you'll need 15 grand right then.
Right. Okay. Okay.
And that's what gets people in trouble. You can't go pie in the sky on this. You have
right
to understand that you have to keep feeding the machinery. It's like having an expensive Mercedes. Every time you take it to the shop, it's $1,000. You cannot avoid that because it is the cost of owning something that's worth owning.
So it's a delicate balance. It's like, you know, 15-year loans are, you know, maybe a little bit extreme, but you've just showed us it's a huge savings you're going to have, but you don't want to be totally to the extreme. You got to make sure you have some savings set aside because bad things are going to happen eventually. So you got to be ready to handle that.
Right. And by the way, the other thing you have to do over the course of time is you have to continually upgrade. So your old fridge and stove that came with the property when you bought it, a few years from now, you're going to be marching down to the appliance store and buying a new fridge and stove times however many units that you have. And that's what a lot of investor gurus do not talk about. is having that extra money put aside, because you've got to continually reinvest in your properties over time. You don't purchase it and then walk away over the next 15 years. You will constantly be feeding it.
Right.
Which is okay.
Yeah.
Which is okay. So I came up with a real example of this. Let's say, going back to building your model, that you're a couple and you're both working and you're both making good money, and you've decided we're going to buy 4 properties over the next 4 years, and then 15 years from now, the first one will be paid off, 16 years now from now, the second one will be paid off, and so forth, so that by year 19, you'll have 4 assets free and clear.
Mm-hmm.
And on the $100,000 example that I used, when you're going back to my example of the 15-year loan, you remember how I said you're paying $583 of principal
right.
each month?
Yep.
You're not paying that. Your renting clientele is paying that for you. So think of it like this. Every single person renting an apartment from you is contributing $583 per month, or per $100,000, I should say. So if you buy a $400,000 building and have $400,000 of debt, each renter in that building is paying $583 a month towards your net worth. It's incredible.
That's a lot of money. Yeah.
They're building your net worth for you. All you have to do is come up with your down payment. And then after that, this building of wealth, it happens because all of your renters are building your wealth for you. You're not doing it. They're building it
right.
for you. All you did was set the thing in motion. That's why I call it an ATM, because once it's paid off, it kicks off that money every month forever. So here's an example. If they're paying $585 per month in principal on each $100,000 of debt, mm-hmm. let's say you buy 4 properties. Let's make them 4-plexes. And you have $300,000 of debt on each 4-plex. That means the principal reduction portion, if you extrapolate from the $100,000 example, so you now have $900,000 of debt. Sounds like a lot, but tenants are paying it. It's not. $1,755 a month per month is the amount that they are adding to your net worth. And all you had to do was to get the ball rolling. So if you multiply that times 4 properties, you'll find that you eventually get to $7,000 per month. It's a lot of money. And again, net worth, I think, is something that people think about wanting to build. But your net worth, at the end of the day, isn't what matters. It's paying your bills. It's cash flow. It's great that you have a great net worth at the end of all of this. But what's more important is you're building a life plan, in my view. And you're building a life plan that includes, hey, neither one of us want to work for a paycheck anymore by the time we're age 50. We're over it. And mm-hmm. so you need to be able to replace that with this cash flow. From a very conservative standpoint, the most conservative standpoint, this works beautifully. So in year 10 on this, by the way, if we go a little bit further on these 4 properties that you bought for $300,000 each, in year 10, you owe $466,000 and you have equity of over $700,000 in 10 years.
Wow.
And that's, you made $700,000 in 10 years of equity on the down payments on those 4 properties. So that was on your original investment. Now, let's say that your original investment or your properties appreciate on average of 3% per year over 10 years. That means your property appreciated 30% in 10 years.
Wow.
So the million, it's the $1.2 million in properties plus that you bought at $300,000 each in debt. Remember, you have a down payment, so they're closer to, say, $350,000 each. So you bought maybe $1.3 million worth of property originally. When you add that add that 3%, which is very conservative, of appreciation, in year 10, you started with $1.2 million to $1.4 million worth of purchased property. In 10 years, you have $1.1 million of net worth.
Wow.
And that's super, super conservative. And $1 million, it ain't what it used to be, right? But it's still, it's $1 million. And all it cost you was a little bit of discipline. So
wow,
by year 15, here's where it gets really exciting. By year 15, if you bought them all in year one or year 19, depending on how you do it, you know, buy one a year. Now your debt went from $900,000 to zero almost overnight because you made that last mortgage payment. And I've experienced that. It's talk about exciting.
Yeah.
You go from making one whopping mortgage payment one month and it's zero the next month. So multiply that times four properties, right? Now your debt is zero at the end of 15 years. Your net worth is $2 to $3 million. And your cash flow is $10,000 to $20,000 a month. If you're done, you win the game.
Yep.
Right? Math doesn't lie. And that's the part that I see everybody get tripped up on in the early years. I've had one client that's bought two properties from me in Salt Lake. And in both cases, the property went up in value. And he sold the property and used the money for something else on the first one, scrambled for his down payment to finally buy his second one. He finally bought his second one, and it went up about $75,000 in value in 2 years, which is not unheard of. It can happen all the time in real estate. So what did he do? He refinanced the property and pulled out the $75,000 to spend it on something else. So here's a case of somebody that I've personally mentored, and I can tell you 100%, if you look 10 years from now, he won't be any further along than he is now.
Right.
Because they forget the discipline. You buy a property, you do the 15 years, make sure that it cash flows from day one and that you can afford to do it on 15 years, and then you just forget about it. And so that's what we did. We continued to work at our regular jobs, and we bought these properties. We also bought and flipped some things, but a number of the properties I own today, I owned 20 years ago. And so we've actually gotten to watch it happen. And believe me, there will be years where you're getting called down and you have to spend time and money on something or other. And it becomes frustrating. And you think, why am I only doing this for a couple hundred dollars a month? You're not doing it for a couple hundred dollars a month. You're doing it for the couple hundred dollars per month plus the $585 per month per $100,000 you borrowed that your renter is contributing to your net worth.
Right.
And so that's what you always have to look at. You may not be rolling in a brand new BMW and have, you know, a McMansion somewhere, but you'll be quietly building your net worth every single month. And when you get to the end, that's when it really pays off. And quite frankly, the people that understand this retire young and they retire wealthy. And the people who don't understand a simple mathematical model like this never, ever, ever get there.
It seems so simple. You know, this isn't a complex model. It doesn't seem like you're really taking on a lot of risk. I mean, it's a no-brainer. I don't know why everybody isn't doing this.
So. I took a seminar in year one of my career, and the presenter put this out there. What will banks loan money on? What kinds of assets will banks loan money on? Can you think of any besides real estate?
No, not stocks.
Auto loans. An auto loan is not an asset. It's
right.
a depreciating liability. They right. won't loan you money on stocks. So banks believe in real estate.
Yeah.
If you can get the bank to believe in real estate, it's one of the only asset classes that you can, as you know, an untrained professional, if you will, you can borrow huge sums of money and use that leverage to create wealth from it.
Yeah.
And so if the debt on that property makes sense to the bank because they have to evaluate the risk on it, then it probably makes sense for you.
Yep. So four properties. So you think that's a good number to start with, or would you recommend maybe going for more? I mean, if you could get eight properties, wouldn't you just exponentially grow your wealth?
Yes. And you and what you find along the way is there are different deals that come your way, maybe an investment partner, maybe one property that you buy goes up a couple hundred thousand dollars in value, and it's gone up so much in value that at that point, and that happened to us, where it makes sense, hey, let's sell that building, take the $200,000 and go buy, you know, three other buildings with it, because when we evaluate the opportunities of those three other buildings, we can maybe make double the cash flow that we're making from this one.
Right.
And so you sort of bob and weave. But what you can't forget during that whole time frame is you still have to have your core group of properties that you retain. Because even though it's exciting to buy and sell, if you buy and sell and don't take the money and reinvest in the model, then you're still in jeopardy. Remember, the end game model still has to be, at the end of 15 years, you've got a handful of properties that are free and clear. So no matter which ones they are, still be able to identify the ones that are the cash cows. And your mentality has to be, we're going to knock out that mortgage every month. It only makes a little bit of money. But at the end of the day, after we make that last mortgage payment, that property is going to make us, say, a couple grand a month every month for the rest of our lives. And when you think about for the rest of your life, it's really powerful compared to, you know, buy something here, sell something there, and you're sort of on the, you know, the rat roller in the cage type of thing where mm-hmm. you never really get to the end of it. And it's difficult, let's face it, to buy and sell. So if you get there, the only way I think that you can get there is to always know that you've got to retain a handful of properties that by a certain age in your life are going to be free and clear.
Steve, thank you so much for coming back on the show. I know that this was really informative and inspiring, and I really hope that you've inspired our audience too. I just want to review the steps to building your own personal ATM before we get out of here. So the first step is you want to keep your job because banks love loaning to people with a steady paycheck. You want to buy 4 properties over the next 4 years, sooner if you can. You want to buy properties that have positive cash flow on a 15-year mortgage, and that 15-year mortgage is really key. You want to make sure you budget 30 to 35% of the monthly rent to pay for taxes, insurance, repairs, and upgrades on your properties. You're going to get the ball rolling. You're going to get these mortgages paid off, and then you're done. You win. You've got cash flow for the rest of your life. That's the simple model. Good luck with this. I know I'm going to be working on this, and I hope you are too. Thank you so much for listening and subscribing to the podcast. I really appreciate you listening. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.